Episode 13. Welcome to it on the bounce show. What a weekend it was. The All Blacks versus the Springboks. It delivered with all the hype and all the billing you could possibly think of with a Bok come from behind win. Well, we couldn't have been too surprised. I mean, we did it three times in the Rugby World Cup. So those All Blacks had no chance against us and the Bomb Squad. It was a bittersweet weekend in the Premier League as well, because we're about to go into this whole international break. And some of those teams, well, they dropped points and it was hugely heartbreaking. My team and, of course, Sandile's team. We'll get to that in a second, though. Also, Red Bull must be cucking their brooks right now, because McLaren are just getting faster and faster. And then Charles Leclerc won at Monza. The constructions champion is basically nowhere now. And Max's lead against Lando is really getting cut away. So much talk about from recapping that. But of course, this weekend, we did it all again with Springboks versus New Zealand. We've got all the football, AFCON, UEFA Nations Cup, whatever it's called. And we've also got a whole bunch of scrutinizing to do as well around the All Black and Springbok match in total. As always, my show host is Sandile. He'll never walk alone. Shangaz, here he is. Nice shirt, bro.
As you guys know, I'm a man of my word. I want to die, but we're here. Let me let James jump in right now so he can get it out of his system. James, let's go.
Damn, Red looks good on you, dude. It looks phenomenal.
Let me start on a very humble note.
Is that the best you got? Man United already in red. Is that all you got?
Oh, nah. And so he practiced shock. The whole week for that one punchline. James, I want to be an honorable man and congratulate
Thank you
and your team for whooping us 3-0 and wiping the floor with us. I'm a man of the word, guys. And you can see I'm wearing this whatever shirt. And guys, the past 2 weeks of my life have been an absolute disaster. Man United, please. It's only 3 games and I can't keep on doing this.
Well, thankfully you don't have to, because we've got a break now from the Premier League. I mean, look, I'm also a little bit hot sore right now. Arsenal dropping points in the season. They're going to win the league to your mates, Brighton. Psychologically, I mean, at least we held on for the draw.
There's a lot of controversy on that. I think maybe
Declan Rice is... I mean, look, don't give referees opportunities to make cut decisions.
Yeah, but that was a really shitty call. It's an unfootball call. Like, it's a cheap second yellow card. And I hear what you're saying. I think Declan Rice shouldn't have done that. But do you give a second yellow on a call like that? I really don't think you do.
I don't really want to get into this, but now we're doing it anyway. Do you believe that the first yellow card in football is the same as the second yellow card in football?
You know, I think referees always have a feel for certain things. I think sometimes if you give away a cheap yellow card, referees, they probably get something in the ear saying, maybe don't do this. The 11 guys have got it. Imagine that was a Champions League final and you give...
Or like just be slightly more lenient on that second one.
Yeah,
like two cheap yellows can't make a red.
Yeah, it can't. The second one is like, yeah. So, and he gave away... Look, the first yellow card is the yellow card. I think he let that Declan Rice one go because it's such a cheap yellow card.
Look, I mean, for me, what was most disappointing as an Arsenal fan is they didn't convert the chances when they had them. They still could have buried that team. And if you're going to win the league, you ought to bury teams like that.
What was funny is that now I feel a lot of Arsenal fans coming down to earth a little bit. Because Haaland scored a hat-trick. So I know I know you guys are feeling it already. You know, Man City are going to do the Lord's work, I think. But let's see what happens.
All right, so we're going to get back into rugby, of course, because Springboks versus the All Blacks, it's happening again, this time in Cape Town. And I'll tell you what's also happening again is obviously Clipdrift, that's gold.co.za, the game we play with all the Bok matches this season. If you go onto that website right now, if you are new to it, just sign in, register. You get a chance to pick a Bok player, and then the better they play, the more points they win. Sorry, why did I mess that up? It's not the hardest thing to say. I say it every week.
Oh, that's huge.
So go onto that right now, and you'll see here, you get the game, you select which game that you want to be involved in, and then you press play. And when you press play, you get the opportunity to spin. So last week, I got Damon to Allen Lee, lots of points. Thankfully, they don't minus points for throwing intercept passes, but he got lots of points. I got 2 spins. So this week, I have, any guesses?
Let's see. Kenan Moody?
I've got Jasper, I am back, Visa.
Shout out.
Wow, no, he was good last week. Yeah, he was so good. So I've got Jasper Visa earning me points this week on Clipdrift, that's gold.co.za. Of course, even if you don't win on the game days, you go into the draw for the main prize, 50,000 Rand worth of cash, prizes. It's going to be amazing at the end of the season. So that's how you start your week, of course, as you start with us. Let's get into those team sheets. They got announced today. and five changes for both sides. So let's start with actually the All Blacks this time around.
Let's start there.
Now, the All Blacks have not scored a point in the final quarter of their matches in the Rugby Championship this season.
Yeah.
So going into the, I think even last year, I had this sort of sentiment. The All Blacks have replacements. The Springboks have the bomb squad.
Yeah.
So it's like the All Blacks will clamber together their 15 best players, and then they've got Oaks that will replace them if something goes wrong.
Yeah.
Whereas the Box clamber together their best 23 players, and they structured their time in the game differently. Yeah. And it was so, so obvious last week. Like, the All Blacks, to their credits, they played bloody well.
For 62 minutes.
But set pieces were great.
Yeah.
They didn't get demolished in the scrums. They were at a parity with the Box. Defensively in lineups, they were phenomenal. They had their ball. They scored four tries, and they were a good side. But last 20 minutes, the Box were like, well played, guys, but this is where we win the game. Because we had the better players in the 23.
Yeah, but I think something else, and I think Justin Marshall alluded to it throughout the week, post the first game, is the inability to be flexible. You know, you announce your team first. You don't make any adjustments in terms of, you know, a bomb squad-ish type of setup. You know what's coming with the Springboks, you know, and it kind of feels like they are stuck in their ways in terms of how they want to play. Don't you
also think that they've only got so many players that they only can play in a certain way?
But then you make an adjustment. I mean, they do have the talent, but you don't go into, you know, you've got to go force with force. You can't throw in another winger when you know the bomb squad is coming. So maybe you go a 6-2 split, you know, on the bench, and their inability to make those calls, especially knowing what's happening with the Springboks, we're always going to bomb squad them. At least bring another physical body in. You don't need, you know, you don't need entertaining football at that time. I mean, entertaining rugby at that time.
Yes,
so
please don't ever say football when using rugby.
Yes, I know you're going to lose it. So like you make an adjustment and yeah.
Okay, so something that when I saw TJ Perenara go off, when I saw Ethan Blackadder go off, I was thinking, that's cool, because those folks, you need those folks to finish the game. You're bringing on other guys whose name nobody really knows. They're bringing on Cortez Ratimer. They're bringing on, I'm even going to try and pretend that I know these guys intimately. But this week, the All Blacks, Flex, if you get the All Black team sheet up there, por favor. As you see, the All Blacks have still not worked out the aspect ratio.
What is happening with their formatting once again?
So if you look at the team now, they've got TJ Perenara and Bowden Barrett on the bench, as in they want to bomb squad those two Oaks to try finish the game with more impetus, which is interesting.
Yeah.
Ethan Blackadder is injured. Caleb Clark is injured. Two of the better players from the first game. They've gone with a bold selection, only having two vice captains this week, not three. And then, I mean, there's a bit of a rejig on the back line, because now Will Jordan goes to 15. Then we've got domestic violence, Sevi Reese at 14, and then Mark Talea starts at 11. So look, it's still a great side. I still rate these Oaks, but...
But Bowden Barrett had to be dropped. He had a shocker.
You reckon?
He had a shocker. He had to be dropped.
He's their best player.
But he had a bad game against the Box.
What did he do wrong?
But also, I was just like, yo, back your team. But I understand what they've got to do now. They've got to make an adjustment. Maybe Bowden Barrett is bomb squaddy.
Well, I tell you why... such a good call. Did you watch the thing? It was the second test against England earlier this year. Bowden Barrett came on and he looked like Vili Leroux on meth. Fuck, the Oak just knew exactly what he was doing. He was tireless. He turned the game. He was clinical. He was everything. Use all the words we ever used for a player. Bowden Barrett was that for 30 hard minutes.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what they reckon they can do. Good on them, because they had to try something. I think, I don't want to be like that overly zealous Box supporter and go, oh, you Oaks were lucky. Intercept try. Sasha missed a kick from in front of the poles. It should have been at least a 12-point win. They did bloody well for a large stretch of that time. I think they're full credit for a 4-point win.
So I'd like to look at it a different way. That was a lot of Springbok mistakes. And you probably, you know...
Too much Tony Ball in the first half.
Yeah, too much Tony Ball. And you know, I've been backing Tony the whole time. But too much Tony Ball. Didn't play safely. If we played a little bit safer, which I think will happen now with the changes that Rossi has made, we don't make those mistakes. We don't give away those two or three tries where we were just trying too much. What is crazy is the kicking game for New Zealand was terrible. They gave away those 10 points when they should have had ball in hand. They should have ran down the clock because we knew we were coming with enterprising rugby, coming in to chase the game. And they decided to chase the game, which was so strange. And the you know, New Zealand of the past would have defended a 10 point lead, or they would have managed the clock. A Dan Carter would have managed that clock.
Well, I'll tell you what they would have done. They would have taken the points on offer and gone for a 13 point lead.
Exactly. Yeah, and
like,
they didn't.
I don't want to scrutinize that. I mean, like the box were phenomenal value and they did come back. And if you look at the team that started and the team that finished, whenever we get a backline injury, it does all kinds of things. It makes us very disheveled. Sam Kane still tackling with his head for some reason. I don't know why.
Got away with some crime there.
Got away with some crime there, which obviously then adjusted Sir Khaleesi's face and demeanor. Yeah. So yeah, it was a good game. To get onto the Bok team for this weekend, Flex, can you just pop that graphic there, please, for the Bok team. Now, I like this team, and I like it for a couple of reasons. When I look at that Ellis Park match, the SA versus New Zealand test match, it's so electric. It's not really like a normal test match game. There's too much emotion. There's a fucking plane that flies over. Oaks are losing their shit. It is just, it's so extra.
Yeah.
And I think what happens is it fires up the All Blacks so much that they've got such a great record there.
Yeah.
And they're always there, thereabouts. Even this game here, they could have actually closed it out. When we play in a better, let's just call it sea level environments, taking Durban away, of course, because we're never playing Durban again. We can set fire to that ground for all I care. But we've seen it when we go play at Nelspruit or we've played elsewhere. More settled environment, I think you'll get a better team. And I think we do have a better team, absolutely. But the fact is, we've gone back to Villiers at 15 and Hundre at 10.
I told you about experience.
But it's not like, oh, we're going to slow the game down. No, no, the game's at sea level. It will be slightly slower.
Yeah.
And I think we also learned in this last match, we need to be better with our exiting, as in catch the ball, get it out of a half, do some playing.
Yeah.
And I think as much as I think Sasha's great, everyone thinks he's great, but we need some more efficiency in how we exit and do those basics before we start thinking Tony ball. So I'm actually quite happy about it. Villiers getting close to the 100 caps. Kane and Moody's come in because obviously Kirtley Aronson, he's out.
Yeah.
Pimpy's having a kid. So I also like Kane at number 14. Centers stay the same. Chesson swaps to number 11. But then Grant Williams to start. I've been calling it for weeks. I think everyone fit. Corbis doesn't get a sniff at this
I squad. Told you guys, I think we're disrespecting Corbis. But
not disrespecting him. But I think there's lots of great players or fifth, fourth selections. Yes. But Grant Williams to start in this kind of match.
I really like it.
Yeah. He needs the chance. Great
and,
play.
And also remember, we're always very critical about how Fleury is at that position. But he actually also changed the game.
Yeah,
I think you reward him changing the game in that when we needed him to.
I just think he plays at a better tempo. I don't think it's Fleury. I mean, Sinelli Nohamba is Fleury.
Yeah. Carlos Benson was Fleury.
I think Grant Williams is just a better sort of tempo. But a couple of weeks ago, we had our predict the best Bok team with no injuries. And I said, just watch. Jaden Hendricks is going to come back as our chosen number nine. He's on the bench this week, which I think gives indication to that.
Yep.
If everyone's fit, I reckon that's our nine. So he'll be off the bench. And then the forward pack, Jasper Visser coming back, showing what an eighth man is. That's awesome.
100%.
And he might get a bit of a longer trot this week, actually. Peter Tsitsitoe. Sorry. The greatness of talking about this man.
Yeah,
I think Peter Tsitsitoe is like the Jacques Cutlers of rugby. Because remember back in the day, the Proteas test team was great because Jacques Cutlers was the extra bowler.
That we're talking about the Proteas, but it's fine. Let's go. Jacques Cutlers is the GOAT, yeah?
We can talk about the Proteas in this era. It's allowed. But the great thing about that team mix is that because they could pick Cutlers, they could basically pick two players, and that he was the legitimate fifth bowler. He fielded like no one else in the slips.
Yeah.
And of course, he was the best batsman. When you have Peter Tsitsitoe, because he is a lock loose forward / man of the match. That's his new position as man of the match.
Yep.
Because after the game, they say, and man of the match is Peter Tsitsitoe.
100%.
So he gives so much to this team that he is basically giving it. There's like 8.5 players in this forward pack.
Yeah.
So the fact he's gone back to 7 because Ruan Nokia, got to give it a credit.
He jammed. He really played
such
well.
Such a great game. He was the number 5 we needed. Takes so much pressure off now. Eben or Peter Steph having to do something.
Yeah.
Those guys can play their positions. So I think it's a bloody good team. Interestingly, in the bench on the bomb squad, we've got 3 backs, which almost feels like 1 back too many, 2 too many.
Such a strange call from Russie. Usually, that feels like too many backs, but I suspect he thinks it's going to be a more physical game in the back.
I don't think you get physical games in the back. You get physical games in the front, and what I think he's trying to do here, he's trying to maintain a certain tempo.
Yeah,
and I think he wants to finish that sort of tempo. So,
but once again, and I think Lukanya Amos unlucky to start. I would have given Jesse Creel a bit of rest. He's been in the trenches since the World Cup. But give Lucanio, and we know it's the most dynamic center pairing in the world. But you know, we've rotated the whole squad. Let Lucanio get some reps in him. And it's not as pressured as it was, you know, last week where we've got a bit of a buffer. I think just give him a bit of run.
I just get the.
Ah, crap. It seems like we've had a bit of an issue in the studio with our audio. We're really, really sorry. So this little chunk of the podcast has just sort of fallen away a little bit, much like the All Blacks in the last quarter of their matches. Welcome back to the show. Let's go. Carry on.
Right. You are in your 30s right now. You cannot play four tests on the trot.
Yeah.
But if we have a squad of 50 and we rotate you well enough, when the next World Cup comes, you haven't got so much mileage on the clock that your 35 is still good.
Yeah.
And this is the interesting thing about this, is that we, to this point, we've had so many conventional wisdoms or expectations around rugby, but they're being blown out of the water here by the fact that this team is just so completely different to anything we've ever seen about rugby.
Yeah, I just hope, just so we conclude on this before we get into the politics of what happened this weekend at the stadium, this is probably the best Springbok squad I've ever witnessed.
Sure.
Most dominant. And, you know, we're going in, we're beating New Zealand convincingly. I almost said convincingly. But we're going there and we're winning. We know what we spoke about this last week, what happens at Ellis Park. We're probably going to Cape Town as outright favorites to go win this again.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it's two World Cups, a rugby championship. You know, it's very dominant for the majority of the same squad. So I think we got to appreciate that Springbok team. So I'm going to, tee you up. You know, you drop the thread.
Yeah, I mean, after this, I had a great time.
Yeah,
maybe got a little bit too stuck into the Heinekens. I got to be honest with you. I mean, we did pre-drinks, we did pre-drinks. We got taken to the stadium. I was with our friends from Tourvest.
Yeah,
we got taken to the stadium in this like game vehicle, so it was higher than anything.
Yeah,
you got to climb up to this thing to get into it. We rolled in there running pretty hot, and then obviously the celebratory brandy's after full time.
Of course.
So I got home like any other Bok fan in the world, right? Hammered and happy.
Yeah.
And then I let everything digest a little bit and I wrote a thread, because I'd normally just put threads out on X Monday, yeah, Tuesday. And I just thought to myself, in a nothing but a vein of positivity, wouldn't it be awesome if we maybe approach these games slightly differently? Like, we get excited about beating the All Blacks because they're our biggest rivals.
Right.
If the All Blacks were like a mid-table kind of Australia or whatever, we wouldn't get this excited.
They're not mid-table. Come on.
We wouldn't be 20 minutes into a podcast only speaking about the All Blacks if we didn't 100%. Respect and how great they were.
Yeah.
So I don't care about the haka. I made this perfectly clear on my thread. I think it's overdone. I think it's a bit lame. I think any kind of choreographed dance with men is a bit, you know, it's just
that's
not for me.
Crazy. I never thought you'd
I
be
went
that
to New Zealand and these fuckers would haka you for anything. Yeah. Get off the plane, haka. Get to your airport, get to the hotel, haka.
Right.
It's like, fuck. I mean, the one time we had to stop, like, this restaurant almost haka'd us to death.
Oh, shit.
Main course, haka. Like, guys, like, yeah, hey, we get it. We get it. And I know the history around it. I'm not trying to sound like an absolute heathen around it. Mm. But when these two teams come together, this is what they do. Right. So if you are my enemy, I will respect what you do. I don't particularly like it, but I mean, so whatever. So wouldn't it be way more interesting and greater theater if when they do this, we don't have Neanderthalic ole, ole, ole being muttered by drunks.
Yeah.
Put my hand up. I was about 8 beers in when that haka got rolling. I'm not above this behavior.
Yeah.
But I believe in theater because that's what sport is, right?
Exactly.
It's entertainment.
Exactly.
Wouldn't it be cool if we gave it a chance, South Africa, as I look to camera?
Yes.
In a patronizing sense. Wouldn't it be great if we gave it a chance to be completely quiet for one haka? How does that feel?
You know, I think the whole thing was really much to do about nothing. I think the whole hoo-ha didn't take away one from the game. It was a great test match. Look, I've seen more disrespectful things happen during that haka. People forget that New Zealand walked away from the haka, decided to go do warm-up drills,
Australia.
and then they got pumped 48, whatever. But I think it was really a hoo-ha. I think we're a very respectful nation in terms of what happens during that haka. I think it was a timing thing
I'm not talking about that because that's the timing thing. I'm not talking about the plane because that's timing. What I'm saying is that why must fans cheer, shout, and be dickheads when the haka's on? Can we not just have one quiet haka? Like, how does that feel to people? Is that just, is it too far off who we are as people?
But like I said, we're why have the silent moment? It's not a moment. It's not a moment of silent type of vibe. It's
I can tell you why. Like, yeah. I said,
is it a respect thing in your mind?
No, I don't. Like I just said, I don't respect the haka, but I like theater.
So you felt like that ole ole, you missed part of the show.
I can hear any duos in the world shout ole 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 after 10 beers with no imagination.
Ole ole was super unoriginal. I mean,
it's from the 70s. Like, again, stupid.
Yeah.
No, the point that I'm making here, which people seem to be getting quite defensive on, if you judge some comments on my threads, is that we go to watch the two best teams in the world clash horns.
Yeah.
It is absolute theater, right? Mm. This is the thing. Maybe if you're cultured enough and you go see watch things other than sport, it's like you need light, day, suspense, drama, climax, all of these different things, right? Yeah. That's what makes theater. If you watch a horror movie and they are playing a, like, I don't know, Selena Gomez song in the background,
yeah,
it's stupid, right? It's just noise. Yeah. When you watch a horror movie and there is like
no this hate to Selena Gomez, guys.
No, of course not. But if you watch a horror movie, but before someone gets staked with a panga, whatever, there is chilling music that brings you to a moment where you're not entirely sure. There's quiet or there's like a small amount of violin. It creates suspense, an auditory, palpable suspense. Yeah. So my point is, wouldn't it be great if we let these oaks have their song and dance, but the only words they hear are their own?
Yeah.
I reckon it would be so incredibly chilling, because either way, the Boks don't give a shit what these guys are doing.
Yeah, it is competing.
There's no advantage for the All Blacks doing this. It switches the Boks on like anyone. Scott Berger said it this week on one of his 17 podcasts that he's on.
Yeah.
So it's not like the fans have to defend the Boks by cheering over the haka. Yeah. That's stupid.
Yeah.
What if it was dead quiet? And this is the only question I've got here. What if it's so quiet that all the voices they hear are just the All Blacks?
Yeah.
I reckon it would shake them.
Yeah, I think it would shake them, but I think another thing, as you mentioned, this is a theater production.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of fans who was probably going to be their first time, last time watching, you know, watching a Springbok game, you know, in Joburg at Ellis Park, that moment felt like they missed what actually is meant to happen in a Springbok New Zealand game. I mean, Springbok All Black game, I'm right, either way. But I just felt like they, you know, if it's my first time watching, you know, if you miss the haka, you miss the theater of the whole show. And that's my only thing about the cheapness of what happened there. It's a timing thing. You let it go. You know, we've apologized. They've accepted it.
Yeah, again, I mean, like I said, that's an absolute non-issue. It was a timing thing because they said a prayer before they did the haka and the plane was coming at a certain time. All I'm saying is, from a fan perspective, can we not have a bit more nuance to what the fan experience is? Like when the kicker lines his kick up, I reckon Damien McKenzie would shit himself if he heard nothing in the stadium.
Just quiet.
And all he heard was the voice in his mind going, don't miss, don't miss, don't miss.
Why is everyone so quiet?
But because everyone's booing and ole 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 and whatever, it allows him to focus.
Do you agree with because people are like, maybe we should like limit the amount of beers and brandies and
drugs. Absolutely not.
Absolutely. So people threw that out. Absolutely people are like half drunk by the time you get a stadium. Like I said, it's for me personally, it's much to do about nothing. It's just different strokes for different folks. But the ole ole thing, let the people see the haka who have never been to the stadium. You know, it's basic etiquette. That's all.
Guys, it's quite simple. And Flex, I don't know if I should. Nah.
Don't get into that thread.
Flex, are you going there? No, let's move on. Look, I love the live experience so much.
Yeah.
And where I'm going with this is that we can be better. It doesn't always have to be the same. You don't always have to act like an absolute moron. Cheer and shout your tits off for the game. Sure, everyone does. Yeah. I'm asking for two small things here. We can psych out the kickers by being quiet. I tell you right away.
You ready to freak them out?
I reckon it would freak them out. And what's it going to cost you? Not shouting for a bit. Do we not have any restraint as humans?
Jeez. Hamez, you've been quiet. Any wise words for us on this?
What are your thoughts, James? Should we enhance the theater experience by a bit of quiet, or screw you, I'm here, I'm drunk, I'm loud?
Fair. Why is this graphic still on? But, jeez, guys.
But it is off. Is it, Hamez? Thomas, did you turn your mic on? It's been sunny, but it is on, yet. Is it? Okay. Well, look, maybe we've got to relegate Thomas here.
Yeah, we're going to relegate you, though.
Dude, MTN 8, Sundowns didn't score a single goal in two games.
Oh!
Is this because they just cuck at the MTN 8s, or is there a concern here with the new coach and the new regime?
I think there is. There's a big concern. I think it's been a very, very long time we haven't seen, like, Sundowns not score over two legs, not defend home. I think it's more focused and more polarized because this is the era, and we discussed it a couple of episodes back, where it's the post Pizzo Rulani era. You know, you've got Coach Mangoba coming in now. He is trying to assert himself as a manager, yep. trying to put his own imprint onto it. And a lot of people who are watching Sundowns now are like, you don't have to tinker with the system. Just win. And them crashing out kind of feels like there is something immediately wrong with the problem, because they're leaking goals and they're not scoring, which is completely unlike Sundowns. But we've also got to give Stellenbosch, you know,
yeah, sure.
all the credit there.
Absolutely. Of course, Pirates are pretty good. I'm going to name drop terribly here and say I played golf with Darren Keats on Monday.
Drop it. Ben, drop that shit, man.
Obviously, goalkeeper from Cape Town City FC. And yeah, I think, you know, he had a couple of points here, which I don't want to grill him on, because the guy just played in the weekend. He's here to play golf.
Yeah.
And he made some good points in that, you know, like Pirates play a really good, fast brand of football right now. Those two goals they scored, they were
amazing.
They were pretty good. You know, they were good, clean goals. It wasn't like work your way into the box, fumble a bit here, scorp it a bit. They were good clinical goals. And the thing is, like he was saying, right now in the PSL, which obviously starts next weekend, so we'll give you a proper preview of that next week. He's like, teams are queuing up to play Sundowns right now.
Yeah, because
for all the reasons you've just mentioned, while they're sorting that out, everybody wants to play Sundowns now.
And it just feels like, you know, we're all waiting for the day Man City starts to, you know, show some cracks, or the post-Pep era. This feels like it. You know, this feels like they're unsure. It feels like their squad is too big, too old. We can't catch them out. So Sundowns have some major issues to deal with. I don't think that it's going to be an alarm when it gets to the league, because, you know, they're great when it comes to league football. But once again, they're crashing out of the MTN 8, which is a big concern to them. They've got to go play CAF as well, where the standard of football is so much
stretched.
Yeah, it's so much higher. They've got so much football to play. And I don't know if Coach Mangoba makes it throughout the season without them being, you know, criticized, because they're playing at such, they're used to such a high level of football, you know, winning every single game. Now you've dropped out. And, you know, I'm not trying to slam Stellenbosch. They had a great season, but, you know, you win those games. And especially over two legs, you don't go leak a goal in Pretoria and then leak again.
So while you're saying that about Sundowns, I'm quite quietly confident that Pirates are going to do the extra thing. Because when a team is in decline, what other teams need to do is get better. Now, if you look at Pirates, they finished the season pretty well last year.
Don't do this
to
me.
Let's be honest.
I'm wearing a Liverpool shirt as well. Don't do this to me.
We need to assess that Pirates are making these little incremental changes. Preseason now, for the last, I think it's been last two seasons, they've gone abroad. As in, they're not just doing preseason like anyone else.
And
they're going
great in preseason.
And they're going, guys, we're a professional team. We are going to go to Spain. We're going to go to Europe. We're going to play against some European club teams as prep. We are now going to set ourselves aside. Like, we're not a PSL team. Like, we're a top-class African football team.
Yeah.
And I think that's where Pirates are going to show some of their mettle this year.
Yeah.
And I actually bet on them to win the season.
That is crazy. That you, my dad would be so proud of you. What the fuck?
Went on to see my bets. had a look-see on the odds.
And you bet on, let's hold that. Look, the one thing I want to say about Pirates is that in tournament football, they're absolutely astounding.
Sure.
MTN 8 has been their one. They're giving the energy of, you know, when Ruud Koral was their coach and they just won, you know, three titles after three titles. You know, they were dominant. And I do agree with you. It feels like a resurgence of what's happening with Pirates. It feels like there's a new energy with what's happening with Pirates. And they're playing great football. And what's crazy is that outside of the, you know, enterprising football they're playing, they've got great set pieces. You know, I'm like, at the training ground, clearly you guys know what you're doing. If Sundowns go the way I think they're going to go in the season, I think Pirates is a great challenger. But outside of that, I think Stellenbosch are going to build off of this. You know, I think the big focus has always been, you know, Sundowns' drop off, or, you know, how great Pirates have been. But we've got to talk about how great Stellenbosch as a program have grown into. They did well in the PSL last season.
Correct.
And they're doing absolutely great in, you know, big tournament season. I think now they can build off this and probably build a stronger squad moving into the future.
And I tell you what, games at Orlando Stadium, not easy.
Not
I
easy.
I think it's a very intimidating place to go play as a team.
I hate that stadium.
Okay.
Bloody thugs.
Speaking of Orlando Stadium, that's where Bafana Bafana yes. playing tomorrow because AFCON qualifiers are back. So Bafana are in Group K. They're taking on the Congo, South Sudan, and Uganda. What are your thoughts? I mean, I think we all can be quite bullish from where the Bafana was at the last AFCON. He's obviously qualifiers.
Yeah.
How do you feel squad-wise? Got the players?
I think, once again, for me, it's all about continuity. I think I love what Hugo Bruce has done, you know, in terms of keeping the squad, but also adding a lot of international players into the squad. It's a home game. I'm hoping that what we do for the Springboks, we do for Bafana Bafana, we go fill up Orlando Stadium. You know, it's a home game.
Friday night football.
Friday night football. Tickets are dirt cheap as well, so guys, go there. I think the big worry for me is, outside of the depth that we've built in into the team, is, you know, Ronwin isn't playing. You know, we've got the Pirates goalkeeper, AmaZulu goalkeeper, you know, a couple of replacements. He was great throughout AFCON. You know, injuries happen. We hope that it's a whole next man up mentality. And, you know, given the culture that Hugo Bruce has built up, you know, I really do feel like it's a next man up mentality. So I'm not too stressed about that. Lyle Foster's back in the team. So, you know, we've got goals in us. We've got a lot of expansion in us. We've been very great as well with our record. You know, we're not leaking as much goals as we previously would. We've got a good Sundown spine. You know, as much as we criticize them, they're still the best team in Africa. So that spine will always carry us through. And with the international experience, I think that's going to be awesome. So, yeah, let's go fill up the stadium at Orlando and get the 3 points. I think out of all the groups, and I hate to say this coming off AFCON, I think we can dominate this group, you know.
I agree. And of course, if you aren't new to this, it's just the top team goes through per these groups, right?
Yeah. So I think we just mustn't do the Bafana thing where we drop points randomly. You know, we've gotten over that hump. Now we play very entertaining football and we win games. You know, and like I said, continuity is very important. Coming off AFCON, coming off World Cup qualifiers, I think we're going to be a great team moving forward. I also want to talk about big shout out to Ronwin. Being nominated for Ballon d'Or. I think that is huge for African football
yeah.
and for South African football to show how far we've gone in. So he's nominated for the Yashin Trophy, which is, you know, the top 10 goalkeepers.
Massive.
And that's massive. I think in his record, he only conceded 19 goals and he had 30 clean sheets. We saw what he did at AFCON.
I think the PSL alone, he was at 15 clean sheets and 19 appearances.
And exactly. And they still had to play in CAF. They still play tournament football. Incredible. So that stat alone is absolutely incredible. Hamez, you wanted to jump in. I saw you there.
Is he winning it? That's my question.
Look, I think, you know, those nominees, and I don't know if I have the graphic. That's probably my bad. But those nominees, in terms of clean sheets, he probably leads that clean sheet stat. We've got that Argentina goalkeeper who Martinez plays for West Ham. They leaked a lot more goals.
Yeah.
And also another thing is that he won Golden Glove at AFCON. That is Ronwin. He won Golden Glove and Martinez won Golden Glove there. So it kind of balances out.
Unai Simon for Spain also. He's there.
Yeah. For me, it's big competition. I don't expect him to win. But what is awesome is that he's there as an African goalkeeper.
Yeah.
One, I think it's awesome to see Ballon d'Or acknowledge how good, you know, an African goalkeeper has been throughout the league.
You're right.
So to be slightly clinical, he's been great.
Awesome.
In what he's played in front of him, he's been amazing. But do you think there's a skew in the rating that if you play in a bigger club, you'll get more credit for what you do? Because he doesn't play in a European team, he's playing here in the PSL. Do you think that'll mark against him?
I do. I do think. But remember, this is African champion as well. Sundowns won African Champions League as well. He basically led us to a bronze medal at AFCON. You can't deny 19 goals, 30 clean sheets. That's huge, and that's throughout all the tournaments.
Mm.
So it's going to be interesting. You make a very good point. I think there is a skew in terms of European football, but we're slowly starting to see that narrative change. And there's a big investment into African football and African talent. So even if he doesn't win, for me, it's a huge nomination for the great season he's had. You know, Golden Glove, AFCON,
yeah.
Golden Glove, you know, in the league, 19 goals, 30 clean sheets. It's an amazing goal for him. First African goalkeeper to be, you know, nominated at that.
Can we talk about these Ballon d'Or nominations?
I knew you wanted to jump into that.
Come on. There are 30 people being nominated for this thing. You can't tell me that there's credibility here if, like, Harry Kane's in here.
Look,
Foden. I mean, is Nicholas Bednar in this thing? I didn't actually check through the whole thing. I'm tired
Lord,
of reading
leave
it.
Leave Lord Bednar out of that. That is one of the goats.
Please sorry, guys. Can we get the graphic up of this? Because it's actually, you got to see it to believe it.
So what's crazy is that, but I think a lot of it is for the banter of what we're going to have for the Ballon d'Or to, if they just drop the top 10 players but of 30, every day.
That's almost three teams of footballers.
But remember, we wanted to talk shit about everybody else who should not be on that list. I mean, we mentioned Phil Foden. I said like Phil Foden probably does deserve to be in that, you know, in that discussion. But should he be there? You know,
look there's the list.
Damn.
I mean, it looks like the cast of a porno you haven't like wanted to watch.
Leave the porno out of this.
Junior, Bukaki.
What shocks me is that I get it that Arsenal had a great season, but Granit Xhaka. Come on.
That's madness.
That's madness,
guys. Like, come on.
Rudiger.
Can you imagine?
It's a bit much. I mean, okay, my next question.
Bukayo Saka.
Okay, like my next
William
question.
William Saliba.
Does this get broken down into a serious list?
It does.
Martin Odegaard. I mean, like, guys, look, Arsenal had a great season, but they shouldn't have like six players in the top 30.
There's also an African on this list, which is pretty impressive. Ademola Lookman. He's from Nigeria. He plays for Atalanta.
Amazing.
In
Syria. Oh, that's amazing. But that's, okay.
Matt Hummels.
Okay,
come on,
okay, guys. Lamine Yamal. Okay, great. But how can he be on the same list as Kylian Mbappe or someone who's like a senior player? Not that Yamal is not a senior player, but like I said, like one season.
But I think what the purpose...
But then again, like he won the Euros, hey? And his girlfriend broke up with him. So maybe there's credit there.
But I think like what we were discussing earlier with Ronwin is the acknowledgement that you're part of the 30 best players in the world.
So, and, you know, Academy Award nominee.
Yes, you know, sometimes in that that's sort of okay. Realm, is it? You know, it's just acknowledging that you had a great season. You know, we know Saliba is the best centre back in the world right now. Bukayo Saka had a great season. Fine, we give it to you. We give it to you. Yeah. So that nomination being, you know, we know how many football players there are in the world. To be in the top 30 of the greatest football players in a single season, it's a great testament to you. And you know, it's going to get cut down to 10, and then I get those 10 get. I think in team of the season or something like
most
that.
Most of them end up in the team of the season.
Yeah. So an acknowledgement.
Hang on a second. Then what's the FIFA the best? Is that still a thing?
It is still a thing.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of politics in this award ceremony.
So, okay, I'm going to put my hand up here as like the on the fence football supporter out of us three. But can you not see how it's confusing for us?
Too many tournaments, much. Too much money involved, you know.
One of them only takes into account FIFA competitions, obviously. And then the other one only takes into account some of them spill over into each other. It doesn't make sense.
Problem is, they should employ you as a press person because no one's made it that succinct to me.
I want you to. Great right. Spring doctor right there.
On the football stall, what is this UEFA Nations Cup in the greater scheme of things in your mind?
So, for me, like I told you, I always use everything to Kosafa Cup. This feels like a UEFA. You know, if you watch all the documentaries about FIFA, UEFA, it's all a bit of a money grab, you know, and this is what players are complaining about. We're playing too much international football.
Yeah.
We're playing too much football. And it's just to get eyes on football anyway. It's the UEFA International League.
So it's played every two
it's
years.
Not a FIFA, it's not a like a thing. FIFA. It's not like the World Cup or it's not like the Euros. They've just added another international tournament. And players have been complaining about this. They're saying we're playing way too much football. It really doesn't mean anything. Can we just get a break? Or can we just play the league so we can get to the end of it?
Yeah. Does this mean the stupid friendlies get thrown away then?
Yeah. Well, kind of, because he's still got the qualifiers. International friendlies are still going to pop up, you know, with the international breaks.
Yeah.
So remember how exhausted we were about how much football we've watched in the past year?
Yes.
We're about to continue. They've just added in another tournament. Like I said, it's the equivalent of the Kosafa Cup in European football. I'm so glad that, you know, European football is making the same stupid mistakes that African football makes. So I'm happy with that. Just a money grab.
Just looking at sports and spreadsheets. Okay, yes. Look, we'll get into some of those fixtures because basically from now until Tuesday, you have football, 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 and then some more football. Mm. But this weekend, US Open finals. So
yeah, we talked about this.
Again, like if you're a bit of a neutral when it comes to sports, when the favorites bow out, it's actually more exciting.
Yep.
And if you look at it now, we went on at length how cuck American tennis basically is and where are all the stars. Well, I can tell you this much. In the men's and women's finals, there will be an Americanist.
Yeah.
Because
Americanist.
In the men's semis, you got Fritz versus Tiafoe. He's actually Sierra Leone, isn't he?
Yeah, but he's one of those athletes that you know.
He's a hybrid. I know. He went there. Yeah. And then Jessica Pegula and Emma Navarro are in the semis in the women's draw.
Yeah, and you know, we discussed this at length last time where we said, you know, the US Open is only exciting if American talent gets through because the timing for us is completely, you know, for the rest of the world is completely off. So we've got Tiafoe, who's probably, now it's probably his deepest run into the US Open because...
No, he made final last year, didn't he?
Did he?
No, sorry, he made semis last year. Yeah, he made semis last year.
Fan favorite, we all know him, Netflix documentary, what.
Such a cool guy to watch. I mean, like this guy could play football, he could be a Ballon d'Orist.
Yeah.
He could be rhythmic gymnastics, I'd watch this guy.
So for me, especially with him, because in other major tournaments, he doesn't get really deep in, it's going to be a big, you know, analysis of where he goes to from here. You know, and I think, fun fact, I think he's managed by, trained by Wayne Ferreira. Wild.
Wow.
I remember that. That was wild, right? I remember that from my watching the Netflix documentary. Please check James, Wayne Ferreira and Francis Tiafoe. I think I'm right. So it's going to be a big assessment for where he is as a tennis player. Medvedev got bowed out or got slammed by your favorite your favorite juicer.
As I said, Jannik Sinner is the best tennis player in the whole world. He had a bit of a cough the other day, which meant that he didn't win that Grand Slam. But he's the first oak in the modern era from Italy to make this far in all the majors, the Grand Slams.
Sandila, I think you should stop making any kinds of calls on the show. Full stop.
No, Wayne Ferreira and Francis Tiafoe, not wrong Americans.
Last year, December.
Okay, well,
at least
James,
I was somewhere there.
At least they were working together.
I was just, shout out Wayne Ferreira. I mean, that was my only thing. But like I was saying, US Open, we're going to see American finalists. Maybe, you know, in the spirit of Andy Roddick, let's let them do something and let there be a great American hope once again. Whatever, you know, US Open.
I hate to break it to you, but Sinner's winning the men's and Sabalenka's winning the women's.
Yeah, look,
Sabalenka's an athlete, huh?
Yeah, so let's get to the final. Let's get to the final. You know, tennis is one of those sports where it's a matter of, you know, momentum, how you play on the day. It's a one-on-one sport. You know, if you're off mentally, you know, you're not going to win that.
Sure. And this weekend also sees the wrapping up of the Paralympics. Like, how much have you watched of this time around? I had such high hopes, and I've got to be honest. I'm finding it quite tough to get into the events.
Yeah,
it's just like it's hard to grasp because there's so many different varieties.
Yeah,
and I think it's just purely an attention span thing. You know, like there's like 100 meters in the Olympics, in the Paralympics. There's going to be a variety of people, so you're never sure how to like time your run with that.
Yeah,
but what I will say, as predicted, if you do follow me on social media, Mpumi Mohlongo. T44.
No, you got it.
What a champ. And he finished fifth in Tokyo, right?
Yeah.
So I had the pleasure of actually getting to know this guy in the last sort of 18 months. He finished fifth in Tokyo. He's actually been our most successful senior track athlete in South Africa for the last 3-4 years.
Yeah.
But something that was very interesting, we'll try to get him in to actually tell the story, is that he was approached by this guy from a university/athletics facility in England. Mm. And they said to him, you know, we've picked up a couple of things in your technique, and I reckon we can turn it around. We can make you a Paralympic gold medalist. And he's like, cool. So he went and he did like a little camp with him, whatever. And he just turned it around, like really, really good.
And that was just the switch.
And then these people said, okay, cool. Let's dedicate the next 4 years to working on this, and we'll get you to break world records. He's like, bro, I got a full-time job. I got a family. Like, I've got a lot on the go.
I didn't sign up for all of this,
And they were so shocked. But, like, this is, it's just so, he's like, he's one of the most likable human beings in the whole world. The fact that he happens to be an international athlete like that. I mean, that to me was just absolute highlight watching him do that. There was no doubt in my mind. Just a really, really good oak.
Yeah, no, that's,
But I mean, have you seen the medal table? China's basically double of what Great Britain are, and Great Britain are in second.
Is there any shockers in the is there any like cheeky Australia like you like the last time, you know, in the Olympics?
Nah, look, I mean, it's kind of the teams you expect, but China are so far ahead.
Yeah.
And then it's Great Britain, and then it's America, and then I think France, and then the rest of the teams you get through. Yeah. Look, South Africa's had 4 medals. Obviously, Mpumi was the 1 gold. We've had 3 bronzes.
Yeah.
But that wraps up this weekend. And there's also, this is one of those shows where we had about 75 things to talk about.
Sure.
We've kind of split through quite quickly.
We had to.
But we've got some great previews coming up in the next few weeks, of course, with the football seasons really, really kicking into things. Something that's going to be happening, of course, in January, which I'm hugely excited about.
Yep.
Because to me, this is all that exists in cricket, is the SA20. Fixtures got announced this week.
Yep.
So starting the 9th of Jan, and then the final will be 8th of February at the Wanderers, which we're going to be at, because this is where we live.
Yep.
And then the player auction will be on the 1st of October. Now, ordinarily, I wouldn't really care. I remember the first thing that I muted on Twitter back in the day was IPL and auction.
Yep.
But it's really great to see the quality of player that's playing in this tournament. And now, this week was announced that the SA20 Schools Tournament is being created.
Yeah.
And this is the beauty of it, right? And shout out to Graham and everyone else involved with SA20. This tournament is becoming like what the sport needs. As in, I don't want to be the doom and gloom cricket guy.
Yeah.
But it's teetering on a bit of an edge.
Yeah.
So, this thing's keeping it together.
Yeah. So for me, you know, we always talk about the... And it's like, you look, we may be the biggest haters of the IPL, but it's super exciting. We'll get non-cricket... It's just been overdone. But you know, it's an exciting element of cricket. You know, it will bring in more marketability for cricket, more talkability for cricket. And you know, with the other tournament coming through, is we talk about Curry Cup, we talk about all these things about developing talent. These are the pools where you get better. And I think this is where we get better moving into big tournaments for the national team. You know, I think they've kind of seen how we can achieve that. So I'm excited for them.
Damn right. So there'll be a heavy a lot of coverage in that. So we'll go to the games. We'll get some of the players in here, hopefully. But yeah, look, we have to get into the weekend's calls because, well, firstly, we all want to see what Sandile's going to say next for his picks.
Guys.
I mean, there are mutterings in the shadows there that he's become the Drake of the show.
Oh, no. Don't do that.
Guys, not my words.
Fair, don't say that.
Not my words, okay? Not my words. Don't kill the messenger.
Yeah.
But let's take a little break. We're going to come back in a few seconds while we're going to go straight hard into our bets for this weekend. And of course, there is one more chance to win in the next few weeks, we should tell you about as well. Another fantastic sporting weekend ahead, of course. We have the Rugby Championships. We have the Curry Cup. Will Province beat Griquas? I'm not sure. We've got all the UEFA Nations Cup. I mean, guys, I'd love to get through it with you, but essentially, Friday, there's games tonight, Thursday. I would say watch France versus Italy, 8:45 tomorrow night, SA time. And then it's just football to football all the way through to Tuesday, all the way through to Netherlands versus Germany on Tuesday at 8:45. Let's not worry too much about that. There's also the golf, the Omega European Masters, which is at Cron-sur-Sieur. Basically, if you are so rich that you want to be in the Alps but also play golf,
yep,
exists.
Come on.
I know. So many goals and dreams right there. But let's look. What it really comes down to is the Rugby Championships on this weekend.
Yeah.
Okay. So this weekend for my calls, I've worn this shirt for a reason. Argentina. The Lost Pumas, whatever, you guys keep screwing me. You keep losing good bets every single week. Come on.
We never even spoke about the game, but how close was it?
We're not talking about that game yet. This week, I am right, okay? We're going to go, obviously, with the box. We're going to give them a handicap of -9.5 because they are going to do things to New Zealand this week. They really are. And then Argentina, I'm still backing you. I've been crying for you, but I'm still backing you. And we're going to go with a handicap there of -6.5. Now, what that does with my hypothetical 100 on Superbets, it gives me 4.84. Awesome multiplier odds. My hypothetical 100 will get me in the 4.84. That is my pick. I'm so excited about this. I've worn the shirt out of respect. Do the right thing, Argentina, and just blow those Wallabies away. Please. Please.
Yeah, let me jump into my picks, guys. Thank God it's an international break, so you don't have to worry about me wearing anything crazy or jumping into an ice cold bath. So, AFCON qualifiers, I've got SA to beat Uganda. We've been so great with our form. Egypt to beat Cape Verde. And then going into the UEFA Nations League, I've got Croatia to beat Poland. And I've got Spain to beat Switzerland. Nice. And France to beat Italy.
Yeah. So that gives you, I mean, that gives you 10.79 on the odds there. So your hypothetical 100 gets you into four figures, 1079. Yeah.
And I'm hoping this weekend, guys, don't worry, I'm not the Drake of it. There's international break. No heart is involved, all mind.
To come back and prove to the world that you're not the sports show Drake is actually quite something.
No, I'm going to back me on this one, guys. Back me on this one.
All right, guys. So look, we do have so much to look forward to the weekend. Hummers, are there any comments that we need to be looking at here?
There's so many, and I don't know exactly where we can start.
Sorry, can I just, seeing as we've got a little time left, can I just say that it's not from us not checking comments. Hummers has been back and forth here.
It's been
a long day.
I tell you what, episode unlucky number 13, there has been shit happening in the background. Yeah. We have no idea. We've got an audience this week. So Dylan and I are composed. What have we got comments-wise, Hummers?
So Sandal, I'm pretty sure.
Fuck me.
I'm pretty sure. Let's just get them out the way.
Let's just do it. Let's go.
There's number one.
Just straight number up 0-3.
Come on, Ryan, man. Just feel me.
Old Trafford was baptized? Okay.
Number well, one. It's better than a 7.
United got their Dutch manager from Timu.
Oh, Fair. My God.
Ryan's on fire.
And then Ryan decided to stop.
Okay.
But then Sims got involved. Lovely Sims, producer lady Sims.
Oh my God, guys.
It hasn't been a good weekend for you. But I'll leave it there. I do have to
just
say.
Just go. We've got a couple of minutes. I'll take it. I told you I'm going to take my beating as a man.
Yeah, look, he's
I mean, any it. Last comments for me?
I do have to say, and I don't know if it's because I love that shirt so much, but it looks so clean on you.
I got a little bit of a complexion wearing this shirt. Didn't I?
Okay. So can we just turn the estrogen down a little bit here? Are there any comments you need us to chat about here?
There are. There's a couple of rugby comments. Someone mentioned Bowden Barrett playing at 10.
Guys, I think what's happening there, if you ought to look at the All Blacks, why they've got David McKenzie at 10 is because I think they're trying to lure Richie Maunga back. So there's no point trying to get Bowden Barrett to fill that hole permanently. Mm-hmm. When your best 10 is Richie Maunga, he'll come back. So I think they want to see Barrett as 15 or they want to see as a bomb squad backline player.
Yeah.
Which is a very fucking weird thing to say.
I heard something weird on the podcast. They're talking about, trying to get the international players back in the game. People like Aaron Smith coming, rolling back. I think
Aaron Smith's gone. I mean, he's pretty much retired.
Yeah, but
from All Blacks.
Like I said, it's just, New Zealand are very bleak at where they are right now. I think they want to open up, or get the money that they say they have to bring the talent back to, to Super Rugby. That's going to be interesting to see moving forward with that.
Dirk's back in the comments. Oh, he's our rugby analyst. We like Dirk.
Yeah. What did he say there?
Yeah, Dirk, you got a really good point there. I think when you look at domestic violence, Reese, Jordan, and Talia, they're a great trio. If you give them some ball and some space, I think they're going to be absolutely phenomenal. So Titi, I don't know quite as much, but I think he isn't going to have the physical front that, say, a Blackadder would have. And Jasper Visa with a game under his belt, I think he is going to be.
Yeah, he's going to.
He's going to be Peter Sefa toy-esque this weekend.
Big call, but he's going to play great.
And then last, I don't think we gave our picks. I think we should for the Ballon d'Or, and who's actually going to win the Ballon d'Or?
That's a good point because first time since 2003 there hasn't been Messi or Ronaldo. That was actually a stat that the non-footballer me had.
If there's any justice in the world. Erling Haaland deserves it for how he got cheated last year.
I don't think you're wrong. I actually don't think you're wrong. I think it will be Mbappe because he made a final though.
Look at you two Liverpool fans. Just
look at us bonding, Sandile. We can bonding, do this every week.
Don't you fucking call me a Liverpool fan ever again. I'm here honoring a bet. Jesus Christ, did you guys? Yeah.
Okay, that's all for me. That shirt looks great on you. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, just finally, for the next 4 weeks, we're giving the opportunity to win something that's really great. There's no F1 this week, of course. Otherwise, we would have spoken about it.
Yeah.
But we do have the Red Bull show run happening on the 6th of October right here in Sandton. So we don't have our own Grand Prix yet. I know Gaten's working really hard on that. But right now, we've got the Red Bull show run to look forward to. And if you go into the comments of our YouTube channel, where the stream happens every single week, and all it's going to be very, very simple. All we need you to do is just to write there, I would like to join you guys at the Heineken Zero Lounge at the Red Bull Showrun. You use those words, pop in the comments, and we're going to pick someone who has done that. And you can get the opportunity to win 2x2 tickets to join us at the Heineken Zero Lounge at the Red Bull Showrun. If you don't know what the Red Bull Showrun is just yet, just think Red Bull Formula One car, the most handsome Scottish man ever, David Coulthard, and they're going to be running these things around
Sandton.
If you've never heard a Formula One car before, it's quite something.
Yeah.
Just to see one, just to watch the rubber burn up, and just to see roads that you might have to drive 60 on, these oaks are going to be cranking other speeds on. Yeah. I am so damn excited for this event. So Sunday the 6th of October, pop in the comments. You want to join us, just simply say so in the comments. Has to be on one of our streams on YouTube. We're making this so super simple for you. And we will select those on our show on the week of the show run itself. 2x2 tickets, they could be yours. All thanks to our friends at Heineken. That wraps up the show, guys.
100%.
Episode 13 done. Go Booker. Box by 13 on episode 13.
Go Bafana Bafana, you know. Shout out. All right. And Ronwin. Everybody, yeah.
And you guys hugging so in about badly. 3 seconds.